Got something, go ahead and toss it in there. Hey, thank you for being here this morning. It always blows me away how high school students show up time and time again to be a part of a community like this. And I know it's hard to get up. I had to get up early this morning to get in here, and it was hard to get out of bed, especially like knowing that it was cold outside after that 60-degree day we had. Promising that spring is coming, even though it may not feel like it. But thank you guys for being here. If it's your first time here or you haven't been here in a while, you picked a great time to be a part of this because we're wrapping up a series that we've been working through for the past couple weeks called What's Your Word, where we have been identifying different words with the hope of being one that you would say, this is my focus word for 2019. This is my target word. This is what I'm going to pursue and what I'm going to go after. And so we've worked through obedience, we've worked through growth and rest, and it brings us to today, our final day, where we are going to look at hope. And that may be the word that you identify. It's also my hope that you, this morning, if you've been here throughout the series, or maybe you were just here for one message, or maybe you're just here for the first time today in this series, that the Spirit directs you to a word. But you can say, this is going to be my focus for 2019. I am not going to aimlessly wander through 2019 hoping that God reveals a word to me at the end that I can reflect on and say, this is the only word, but that you can look with intentionality to 2019 and say, this is my focus. I am going after obedience. I'm going to be obedient in 2019. I am going to seek growth in 2019. I am going to pursue rest for 2019. Or maybe it's today's word, in 2019, I am focusing on and I am pursuing hope. And so, like we've done in the past couple weeks, I've given some students, some of your peers, a word that are incredibly artistically talented, and they produce a piece of artwork. And so, Emily Christopher has this beautiful piece right here. It's, you want to talk about like great things that very few of us can produce. You want to talk about something incredible that Ryan can't produce? It's the pieces of artwork that have been presented each week. And so this beautiful piece of artwork, and I asked Emily, I said, hey, what's your inspiration for this? And it did it again. The Holy Spirit did it again. But she said, it's just the reality that light extinguishes darkness, that it casts out darkness. And so she displayed that in this beautiful picture. And so let's give it up for Emily. I'm really excited for what the end of this series means, and we'll talk about, Betsy will explain that a little bit more, but we're going to display these pieces of artwork in this room for the year so that we can constantly be reminded of a few things. First, that God has gifted us all in incredible ways, and we're going to display the gifts that God has given some students in this room through their art, but also as a constant reminder of the word that the Holy Spirit has identified for you to pursue in 2019. And so with that, we're going to jump in today. I would encourage you, if you have a Bible, I hope you do. If not, we've got some for you. Please let me know. I had a student walk up to me today and say, hey, I need a Bible. And boom, we gave him one. And so if you need a Bible, if you do not have access to one, please let me know, let an adult know, and we will get that for you. But in the meantime, if you have one, please open it up to the book of Luke, chapter 23. We're going verse 32, and we're gonna read through some of that. But as you flip to it, if you don't have a Bible, look off your neighbor. If you don't have a neighbor who has a Bible, it's going to be on the screen for you. But it's just a great way to follow along and see, hold God's word in your hand. Personally, I'm not a big electronic. When I dive into God's word, I like to have something in my hands, something I can feel and I can hold on to. And so let's do that this morning. This is Luke chapter 23, verses 32 through 43. If yours has heading, it might say the crucifixion up there. And so this is what God's word is saying to us this morning. Luke 23, verse 32, it says, two others who were criminals were led away to be put to death with him. The him there is Jesus. And when they came to the place that is called the skull, they were crucified with him, and the criminals on his right and one on his left. And Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they cast lots to divide his garments. And the people stood by watching, But the ruler scoffed at him, saying, "He saved others, let him save himself. If he is the Christ of God, his chosen one." The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine and saying, "If you are the King of Jews, save yourself." There was also an inscription over him, "This is the King of the Jews." Verse 39 goes on to say this. One of the criminals who were hanged railed at him and saying, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we are receiving the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." And he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And he said to him, "Truly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." Let's pray. Father God, I thank you that you are the author of hope. That you wrote it so beautifully that we get to experience it, we get to live it out, and we get to feel the full effects of that. And so, Father, as we look into your word this morning, I pray, Lord, that you would just guide us, that your spirit would speak to us, that we would be able to have a better glimpse of the hope that you are offering us, real, authentic, lasting hope. Father, that as we navigate through this, you would help us to identify what you are calling us to for 2019, and that we would boldly pursue it as we pursue you. We thank you, Father. It's in your name we pray. Amen. So I don't have any fun story or connecting piece, but I just want to ask you this one question. Have you ever found yourself in a situation where you're completely hopeless? And this can be a lot of situations for a lot of us. I know that some of us in here have experienced this in greater ways than I have experienced this. This idea, this thought, this feeling of hopelessness. I know that some of us in here might say, "Well, my hopelessness, I've experienced it, but it's just been the hopelessness maybe of a bad grade or being unprepared for a test or the hopelessness that, you know, summer may never come because it's so cold outside." But my question for you this morning is, have you ever found yourself in a situation where something is before you and you found yourself to be completely hopeless? Like utterly hopeless, like no hope whatsoever. You know that what is right before you is just crushing you. And I'm sure some of you could explain and share stories of hopelessness that I would just be blown away by. You know, if you had the opportunity this morning to be in the big room at 9 o'clock, and guys, I tell you this all the time, but please take me up on it. I'm so grateful that you're here at 10:40, but there is something incredible that's happening in the big room every single Sunday. And I want you to be a part of both of those things. And so it means you got to sacrifice some sleep. But what's going on in the big room is incredible because God is using so many people, some people around us. The Pastor Mike is going through a series right now that shares the stories of people who are doing life around us that we may or may not even know, and stories that we may not even know about them. And our very own Josie Thomas shared her story of strength this morning. And it's like, it's so good. Like if you were like, "Man, I feel like I missed out on that," you did. Like that is better than this. And so if you're like, "Hey, I missed that," go be part of that right now. Like I will be glad for you that you will get to experience that story. And so if it's like you're waiting 5 minutes to act like you have to go to the bathroom, that's fine. You can go. But like don't miss out on what's happening. These stories, and she shared an incredible story that could have led to hopelessness. And I'm sure in moments of her story, she felt hopelessness. And we've all been there at times where we've experienced hopelessness. And for some of us, it could be the biggest thing in the world. And for others of us, it could be, "Man, that stinks. That wasn't great. I didn't feel good." But we've all been there. We know what that feeling feels like. All of us to a certain degree. And I think as you look back, you may find that you have experienced some hopelessness. Like, man, life is really tough. Like the things that are bearing down on you as a student, It might be too much. And you may only see what is in front of you and say that this situation, that this moment, that this person is hopeless. And it may be tearing away at your insides. But the cool piece about it, we're introduced here, I think, to some folks who are, in fact, hopeless. And we see they have an encounter with Jesus, and incredible things happen that come from their hopelessness that points them to hope. And so let's jump back in. And so just to give you quick context, if this is your first time ever in church, if this is your first Sunday here, don't be worried. We're gonna explain it. And so essentially what this is we have Jesus, and he's wrapped up kind of his earthly ministry, and he's going to the cross. He's been taken under the authority of these people who will crucify him. And we find that he's held before trial, and he's actually found innocent, but they say, we want to kill him anyways. And so the rulers and the leaders want to appease the people in this. And so we see that Jesus is going to the cross, and at this moment, it says that he's led away to the place where he will be crucified, where he will die, where he will give up his life for us. And it says there in verse 32, it says, two others who were criminals were led away to be put to death with him. And when they came to the place that is called the Skull, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. And the thing that blows me away as I read this, it says the two others who were criminals. You know, we see that Jesus is incredibly and completely innocent of all the crimes that have been put up against him. But he goes to be crucified with two others who were criminals. And just to give you some historical context, crucifixion was an incredibly painful way to die. It was not something that was quick and easy. It was something that was drug out and long and torturous and painful. And crucifixion was not a penalty that the average criminal received. Like, it would require a heinous crime for you to be crucified. And so we don't know a lot about these two criminals, but the understanding of what crucifixion is and what it was leads us to believe that these were vicious crimes. These were vicious crimes that they committed that would put them in a place where they would be crucified. It says, when they came to the place that is called the Skull, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. And Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they cast lots to divide his garments. And the people stood by watching. The rulers scoffed at him, saying, he saved others, let him save himself. If he is the Christ of God, his chosen one. The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine and saying, if you are the King of Jews, save yourself. There was also an inscription over him saying, this is the King of the Jews. And I think as we look to that, we see Jesus, who is completely innocent, and in this moment where he finds himself being crucified and probably agonizing pain, his response is, he prays, he says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they continue to make fun of him. And they continue to call him out, chastise him, and say, if you're really who you say you are, why aren't you doing anything about it? And at this moment, I believe that the men on his right and his left, those criminals, are experiencing hopelessness. They realize that they've been found guilty of their crimes, authentic and real crimes. They've been found guilty, and now they will go to die. And I can't even imagine what that feels like, to know that I am in my final day, in my final hours, and I don't know what comes beyond this. We find two criminals who are guilty, and I'm sure that they are experiencing incredible hopelessness. Verse 39, one of the criminals who were hanged railed at him, saying, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." So the one, he says, "I'm going to join in on the mocking, and I am going to call out, and I'm going to say, hey, you claimed to be the Son of God, and if that's who you are, why don't you save yourself?" He says, "Why don't you save yourself?" And I love it there. He goes, "And save us." And this criminal who's experiencing hopelessness mocks Jesus, calls him out. He says, "Save yourself and save us." And I am blown away as I'm reading through this to see that this man, this criminal, calls Jesus out. He says, "Save yourself and save us." And I don't know what's going through Jesus' mind at this moment as he's hanging there for our sins, for this criminal's sins. And I can't help but as I read that, when he says, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." I can't help but think Jesus thought, "I am doing this to save you. Like, I am hanging here. I am dying here for you, vicious criminal." And I think the other criminal finds himself in a hopeless moment, and he's searching for hope. And in an incredible display of humility and repentance and the seeking of forgiveness, he finds himself looking to Jesus for hope. It says in verse 40, but the other criminal, rebuked criminal A and saying, he says, "Do you not fear God since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed justly, for what we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong." What he's saying, he goes, "Hey, can't you understand? Can't you see what's happening here? Can't you see what's going on?" He goes, you're guilty, and I'm guilty. We both know it. We both know that we have done incredibly horrendous things, and that has put us on these crosses to be crucified ourselves, and we deserve this punishment. He goes, "Don't you see this?" He goes, "But this man in between us is innocent. He's done nothing wrong." As we look through the narrative of Jesus working and going to the cross, we see a lot of moments, we see a handful of moments where other people outside of the circle of disciples, the circle of Jesus' intimate followers, we see them identifying that Jesus is in fact innocent of this. And this man finds himself in a hopeless moment where he does not know what to do. And so his response is he looks to Jesus. He says, "And we indeed deserve this justly." This is a just punishment for what we've done. And in this moment of hopelessness, he knows that death is coming. His response is he turns to Jesus. So I don't know what 2018 or 2017 or so far in 2019 has been for you. You may be sitting here today looking into God's word or looking at the stage or closing your eyes because you're trying to push it out, saying, "Man, it has been incredibly hopeless. Ryan, if you knew what I had been through, if you knew what was going on at home, if you knew what was happening to me on social media, if you knew about those pictures that got out, Ryan, if you knew about the loss that I've experienced, you would be hopeless too." And I tell you this all the time. I honestly believe that it is harder to be a high school student today than it has been any other time in the history of high school. You have weight and pressure on you that you maybe have put on yourself, that maybe parents have put on you, coaches have put on you, siblings have put on you, teachers have put on you. You feel this weight and you go, Ryan, I just can't keep up. I don't have a lot of hope because things are not going the right way. They're not going how they should be going. You may be finding yourself incredibly hopeless. But here's what I would encourage you to do. Allow 2019 to be a year that you pursue hope. That you pursue hope, that you turn from the hopelessness and you can say, I know that there is true and authentic hope that exists. Because we see this criminal who was incredibly hopeless in verse 42. He understands the reality of what's going on. He is living in incredible darkness, but he looks to the man who's being crucified in between him and another criminal, and he sees incredible darkness, but he sees light shining through. He sees light shining through that darkness as the person of Jesus Christ. He's guilty. He will find death soon. He will find what he experiences, what he thinks is complete darkness. But in this moment, he sees the person of Jesus Christ, the light of the world shining through. And he says, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus, when you come into your kingdom and to rule, please remember me. Remember me. And in this moment, Jesus responds to him. He says, truly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. And as I'm seeing this, there is hope. There is real hope that exists in and through the person of Jesus Christ. He is the light shining through darkness. I love that in that song that we sang, Living Hope. It talks about darkness. Can you guys, in the back, can you try and pull that up for me? It talks about shredding darkness. In the light that Jesus is, we live in incredible darkness. We live in a place where there's darkness all around us, hopelessness. But Jesus, the light of the world, who is the hope of the world, comes shining through. And in this moment, this criminal, he says, Jesus, I trust that you are the Son of God. And I believe it. And it takes us to Romans. Chapter 10, verses 9 says, because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you believe it in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Very much like this criminal. He believes it in his heart. He goes, this man is innocent. I am guilty of my sins, and I believe that you are who you say you are. I know I deserve this, but I know that you don't. But I know that you love me enough, Jesus, to take this for me. If you believe it in your heart and confess it with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you will be saved. Verse 13, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And we see this criminal who's experiencing hopelessness, but he sees a glimpse of hope in the light of the world who's hanging beside him. And he says, remember me. He says, remember me when you come into your kingdom. That is incredible belief that in his final moments, he would say, I've finally seen the light. And Jesus' response to him is, truly, I say to you, today, you will fade from this world. You will lose your life. And you will gain eternity with me in paradise. And we see it. And I think sometimes when we find ourselves hopeless, we look for hope and we go, it's just too simple. Sometimes we look at the gospel. We look at what Jesus did. We go, no, I need to pay for this somehow. Like we look at the world and what it tells us. We say, I know I've committed these sins and somehow I need to pay for this. I need to do the right things. I need to live a life that I can earn the merit of God. And we look at the gospel, we go, it's just too simple. How can I just pray? How can I believe in the person of Jesus? How is this possible? We find ourselves right there in Romans. That's what it is. That's how we enter into a relationship with Jesus. That's what it looks like to experience real and authentic hope. We must confess it. We must confess it with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe it in your heart. Don't just say the words. It must be a belief that exists within us. And when we believe this, we gain confidence for knowing that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. It's just, sometimes it's mind-blowingly simple that we can experience real, authentic hope in our darkest of circumstances. Because when we enter into a relationship with Jesus, when we look to Jesus, the darkness begins to fade and the light of Jesus begins to shine through. When you look at this picture, your eyes are drawn towards the light. It's the first thing you see, because that's the hope of the world. The light of Jesus is the hope of the world. It is the hope for you and for me, and it's real, and it's authentic, and it's incredible hope that lasts beyond. And we see that. And through the darkness, your loving kindness tore through the shadows of my soul. And we experience hope. And this criminal, guilty, deserving death, deserving hell, experiences hope in the person of Jesus. He says, "Remember me." He says, "I know who you are. You are the Son of God." And Jesus, "Don't rescue me from this." Unlike the other criminal who says, "Rescue and save yourself and save me." No, this other criminal finds him saying, "Remember me. Don't save me from my current circumstances. Save me from my eternal circumstances. What I deserve, save me from that. Give me hope beyond this life." I love it. And then Pastor Mike spoke through this morning, and it brought it to my mind. I'm like, I just have to share this. It's just too good to not share, because this is the hope. The hope that we have is in the love of our Heavenly Father displayed on the cross by His Son. It says, "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but gave up His life for all, how will He not also with Him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress, persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword?" Like, those are hopeless situations. Tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword. Like, all of the things that may be right in front of us, that creates hopeless situations. A diagnosis, the reality of things that are. Understanding that I thought I loved him, I thought she loved me, I thought I loved her, and that crumbles in front of you as they're saying it's over, and you go, "Wait, what is this? This is where I put my hope, in this relationship here. I put my hope in that school. I put my hope in that sport, and it's crumbling around me." Like, we can see these situations popping up, and Paul speaks to that in Romans. He says, "What shall separate us from the love of Christ? Is it tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, or sword?" He says, "As it's written, for your sake, we are all being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered." Like, this is the reality that we live in without hope. We are just going to be slaughtered. And those of us who are in Christ, we find ourselves in these moments saying, hey, we are sheep that are going to be slaughtered. We will lose our lives. But the thing that we can find our hope in is that we are secure in Jesus. Because I made the decision when I was a young child or that day in high school or somewhere in between at Camp Carl one summer or with my friends in an intimate moment in our car where I just said, I need to give it to Jesus, or kneeling beside your bed or wherever it is where you felt the hopelessness pressing down on you and you looked to your side and you saw you were guilty of your crimes and you looked to your side and you saw Jesus there innocent and you said, I need you. I believe that you are who you said you are. And when we find ourselves in that moment where we have our hope secure in Jesus, we live this out. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. We are conquering these things because of what Jesus has done for us. For him who loved us, for I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to. I'm convinced that all of those things, anything you can come up with, all of them, heights, depths, if you find yourself anywhere in the world, whether it's life or death, there is nothing that will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. That criminal is secure in Jesus. He is secure in Jesus. Today you will be with me in paradise. He put his faith, he put his hope in Jesus. And so you can be one of two places this morning. You can be in a place where you go, Ryan, I don't know what this hope feels like because I have never entered into a relationship with Jesus. Hey guys, it might seem crazy, but it's just that simple. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe it in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Oftentimes we go, man, but I need to pay something. I need to pay for my sins. It's been done. Jesus has done that. He did it for that criminal. He did it for you. He did it for me. He's done it for those who are in him and those who are walking towards him who have yet to enter into a relationship with him. If you find yourself in that position this morning where you go, I am hopeless. I've put my hope in this world and it's failed me time and time again. Know that true hope, authentic hope, real, lasting, eternal hope is found in Jesus. And it's just that simple to experience that hope. Maybe that's you this morning. If it is, and you're like, man, I want to experience that hope, I would challenge you. I would encourage you. I would love to talk with you. I know the adults, the band, if a friend brought you, talk to them. And if they're like, I'm getting lost, come talk to me or an adult or a small group leader. If that's you this morning, don't walk out of here into greater hopelessness when hope is real, it's authentic, and it's available for all of us. And you could be on the other side where you go, I'm in that relationship with Jesus, but that moment is right in front of me, and I'm struggling. I'm struggling with the loss of a friend. I'm struggling with the loss of a family member. I'm struggling with the loss of my identity or my reputation or who I am. I'm struggling with the loss of a position or a status, and I know who Jesus is, but I need to be reminded of the hope that exists in him, and I just need some hope. I need 2019 to be a year where I put those things behind me, and I look ahead to the future, and I see the hope that exists in Jesus, and I want to live in that every single day, no matter what may come against me. I want to live in the place that I am confident and I know that I am sure that neither life nor death, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, or powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate me. I know that beyond a shadow of a doubt, but one of those things is right in front of me right now, and I need hope in 2019. 2018 was a year full of hopelessness. We lost students. We lost friends. We lost family members. And we maybe have that fresh in our mind, and that creates some hopelessness. And so maybe we need to look into 2019 and we need to say, hope is my word for 2019. I'm going to pursue it every day. I'm going to pursue it through the person of Jesus Christ, the innocent Son of God who hung on a cross for my sins. I need to look to him all of February and into March and into spring and as summer comes, and as summer fades into fall and winter rears its ugly head again, I need to say I'm focusing on the hope of Jesus every day in 2019. Maybe that's the word that the Spirit is calling you to. It's hope. Maybe it's obedience. Maybe you look at 2019 and you say, man, I've been living apart from God. I've not been following what he's calling me to do. I've not been obedient. And in 2019, I must be obedient. Maybe obedience is your word. Maybe you go, I need to just grow and I need to know who Jesus is in a greater way. I've made the decision to follow him, or maybe I'm beginning to pursue him and I want to experience growth. And I'm going to pursue him through his word, through relationships with others that are going to point me to him. Maybe growth is your word for 2019. Or maybe you find yourself just saying, man, I am tired. I don't know what to do. Life is just crazy with school and sports and extracurricular activities and band and just all these things. Oh, and by the way, I've got a family that I need to spend time with. And I've also put a boyfriend or a girlfriend on top of that. And just I'm just so busy. And maybe 2019 is a year where you go, I need to experience rest. And not a nap kind of rest, but rest in the Spirit. Rest in our Heavenly Father, knowing that he's got it taken care of for us. Or maybe it's hope. It's my prayer that the Spirit has identified a word for you for 2019. And that it's not just something that happened throughout the beginning of the year and into February that you go, oh yeah, you know, March, April, July, August comes, and you go, oh, I think I had a word, I don't know. It's my hope that that becomes a word that is written on your heart and you say, this is my pursuit, not just throughout the rest of February, but something that lasts into the heart of 2019 and on the back end so that it changes not just 2019, but it influences my life in such a way that 2020 and beyond are incredible years focusing on the person of Jesus Christ. Guys, what's your word? Is it obedience? Is it growth? Is it rest? Is it hope? 2019, what's your word? Father God, we thank you for this morning. God, we thank you for your word that identifies and points us in these places in our lives that we need to focus on. Lord, identify that in our hearts. If you have not, bring that to our minds. Help us to focus on what you're calling us to for 2019 as a freshman, as a sophomore, as a junior, or a senior. Whatever you have, Father, reveal it to us and then call us to pursue it. That we would be changed people. As 2019 fades into 2020, we can say 2019 was a year in which I grew in my relationship with Jesus, and he showed me incredible things as I followed him. We thank you for today, Father. We thank you for your love. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
So like Ryan was saying, we have an opportunity this morning to take what we've learned from this morning and the past few weeks and apply them to our lives. So this series was all about choosing a word to focus on for the year. The words obedience, growth, rest, and hope. So in the next couple of moments, we're going to have some time of reflection and some time to step out and to choose a word that you would like to focus on for the year. In the back, we have four different canvases with each of the different words written out. And as the band's playing, you guys can take a few moments to pray, to reflect, to think about the different words and how you can shape your year to focus on a certain one. And as the band begins to play and to sing, you guys can stand up, walk to the back, and write your name on the canvas with the word that you want to focus on for the year. So after some of us are done writing our names down and declaring that that's going to be our word for the year, we're going to come back together again and finish in worship. So again, take some moments to reflect on obedience, growth, rest, and hope.